Welcome to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast, where SearchHealthIT.com editors interview leading experts on IT strategies for healthcare leaders.
I'm Don Fleckinger, News Director for Search Health IT.
I'm Sean Suttner, News and Feature Writer for Search Health IT.
And this is our weekly podcast rounding up Health IT news and views, and we have renamed it the Hit Squad. Anyway, so in the last week, it's been quite exciting here in the world of Health IT. Sean, you can go first. You attended your first AHIMA conference, the American Health Information Management Association annual convention and exhibit in beautiful San Diego. What'd you think of that your first time around?
I was really impressed. It was about 4,000 people at the AHIMA show, and people really dedicated to the proper management of all this medical information that we're dealing with. Very serious people, usually not physicians or often nurses or people with business degrees, and people really dedicated to principles like they came out with this new data governance principles, foundational principles this year. That was their big talking point. But they really are dedicated to accountability, transparency, integrity, availability of information. So they're really information management purists.
They're the people who have to use the software that the CIOs, who usually read our articles, have implemented in their facilities.
Yeah, that's correct. And they generally have a pretty good relationship with the CIOs.
Well, you did have a rare opportunity to sit down and talk with our National Health IT Coordinator, Karen DeSalvo, MD, one-on-one. What kind of interesting things did she say?
Well, she reiterated to me that although the ONC is moving beyond meaningful use to interoperability, she maintained that they're sticking behind meaningful use and that they're going to see it through to meaningful use stage three.
What were the other big stories at AHIMA? You already mentioned the new data governance initiatives that they're pushing. And what else was going on there?
Well, ICD-10, you can't talk about AHIMA without talking about ICD-10, the medical billing and coding standard, and that has been delayed for another year. And it's really striking how in the rest of the health IT world, there's dread about it coming in October 2015. But at AHIMA, there was impending dread about it being delayed once again. Next year. So you felt that sense at AHIMA, the possibility that ICD-10 could be delayed again. Also, there was quite a bit of talk about the upcoming HIPAA audits of healthcare organizations and their business associates. So that was a big deal. And there was a lot of talk, too, about a coder shortage with ICD-10 on the horizon. Where do you get coders? And there were a lot of vendors there who were selling coding services.
Did you sense any dread or nervousness over the HIPAA audits, or did it seem like the folks that were talking about it were really up for the challenge? We do this every day, and if OCR looks over our back, good for them.
I'd really say the latter. The people at AHIMA are well prepared for the HIPAA audits, and they feel themselves to be, and so much so that I went to a session with the Federal Office of Civil Rights for Health and Human Services, the ones who do the HIPAA audits, and they had to reiterate to the AHIMA crowd that you cannot volunteer to be audited.
Unbelievable. Well, that's pretty funny. Speaking of dread or negative things, did it seem like there was preparation fatigue for ICD-10? They've been getting ready for ICD-10 for, it seems like, 10 years now. And at some point, they have to be maybe losing steam? Or what was your feeling when you took the pulse for that?
Yes, there is preparation fatigue for ICD-10. I mean, these people are ready for ICD-11, okay? They've been ready for ICD-10 for 2 years, 3 years. So they're well past that point. I mean, this is the the vanguard of the ICD-10 community, who really truly believes that ICD-10 is the most accurate, comprehensive system for categorizing diagnoses in our health IT system. And they just can't understand why it's continually being delayed. So, but they do have preparation fatigue. Okay, so Dom, now you're familiar with Epic Systems. Had a tough week this week. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah, and we all followed the stories. Early in the week, there was this expose or. Well, it certainly wasn't a puff piece on Epic describing interoperability problems and laying out specific issues where small physicians cannot connect with hospitals in their towns that are running Epic when they're using EMR systems from other vendors, and sort of the hardship this causes for physicians and patients. And then, if that wasn't enough, a couple days later, Thomas Duncan, the Texas Ebola patient, was released early when he shouldn't have been from Texas Presbyterian Hospital, and he finally showed up and tested positive for Ebola. And the next day, the hospital promptly blamed their Epic electronic medical record for his early inadvertent release when he should have been put in isolation the first time he came to the hospital. And then the day after that, they backed off on that statement and took the blame away from their EMR vendor and put it more on themselves.
So was Epic at fault, actually, for Thomas Duncan being released early?
Well, I think the point is, whoever's at fault, you can't figure that out in a day. It takes a long investigation into the systems, and I feel the medical leadership at Texas Presbyterian should have known better. I mean, these are physicians who design clinical care paths based on evidence-based medicine and clinical studies that have been peer-reviewed, you know, repeated thousands of times on thousands of research subjects, and they should have known better than to just 24 hours later throw Epic under the bus. Now, that doesn't mean Epic isn't at fault, or Epic's system isn't poorly designed, or that the hospital's particular implementation of Epic was flawed. We don't know that. I'm not saying that any particular party has a bigger piece of blame pie. I just think that it was a little bit premature, 24 hours after the fact, to throw Epic under the bus.
Now, Don, you wrote a punchy opinion column this week delving into the Epic story. What was your central point in there?
Epic's got some problems with its image and its communication strategy, and this may be coming back to bite them. I sort of recalled how Microsoft was prosecuted by the Department of Justice in the 1990s and early 2000s. I'm not saying that justice is going to come after Epic, but considering the stories around their lack of interoperability, difficult workflows that would get an Ebola patient released, whether it was their fault or not, and their general lack of concern for their public image, you know, that's put them in a very vulnerable position. And at some point, they're going to have to get in front of this and address their interoperability practices, tell us what they're going to do to promote interoperability with small physician practices, and how they're going to improve workflows. I don't know if they can do that or not, but certainly they have more than ONC and CMS and their interoperability initiatives to worry about. If these problems persist, if they don't address their public perceptions, you know, you're a political reporter. You know how these tidal waves, these tsunamis of bad press turn into politicians turning on you.
Well, perception becomes the reality, you know.
And also, it's so easy to focus on the patients. The patients are the end game. And somehow Epic and the politicians need to focus on the patients patient care, improving it, and health data interoperability is the lifeblood of improving patient care. And Epic cannot be on the wrong side of that equation.
I agree, and the patient in this case, tragically, Thomas Duncan, suffered the ultimate price.
And let's hope Health IT was not to blame for it, but I'm sure there will be a lot of analysis of that in the coming weeks and months and perhaps years.
Indeed.
Well, this wraps up this edition of the Hit Squad. We'll see you next week. Thanks for joining us, Sean.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the SearchHealthIT.com podcast. For more information and resources about healthcare technology and electronic health records, please visit SearchHealthIT.com. Thank you.